Colossians chapter 3 tonight. I have kind of a simple message, Colossians chapter 3, where this morning both the messages are pretty heavy. This one might not be quite so much, but it's at the start of the year, and I want to talk about when new is needed, when new is needed. Colossians chapter 3, I'll start at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, give you a second to turn there. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Therefore, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Christ is all in all. We're all one in Christ. All right. Let's pray, and we'll talk about when the new is needed. Father, it's a new year. We thank you for it. We thank you that you gave us a new day and all the good things you give us. We praise you for them. And now, Lord, as we go forward in your word, we have a new message, Lord, and I pray this message, though we've said similar things before, I pray that it would be something that would just hit the right spot for us spiritually to prepare us for your work and for your will, to help us to get back up, to help us to do the right thing, to help us to not stay in the wrong. And we pray you to please speak to us, Lord, through your word in these things. And we need your help. We need your power. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray he be speaking to us now, and we would get what we need in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine this morning about how that a fool returns to his folly as a dog returns to his vomit, and how sometimes we just go back, and sometimes we just are in the same thing over and over again. And this chapter talks something about changing to something new. It starts off talking about heaven, first of all. And we're not hitting on it. We've hit it on a different message about the new. But in heaven, God says, behold, Revelation 21, I think verse 4, I make all things new. Great thing is we get a new body. We get new dwelling place, a new mansion. Everything in heaven is new. No more death, no more sorrow, nor anything else. Everything is great in heaven. Everything's passed away that's bad. And it's a new start, and it's a fresh thing. And it's very, very very nice, because it is that way. So what it says is we're supposed to start leaning in our heart towards heaven. If you're risen with Christ, if you're saved, then set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That is not done accidentally. You have to set your affection on things above. Now, some of our lives are very difficult, and it's very easy to look forward to heaven. Some of our lives, well, aren't that difficult, and we're pretty blessed. And it's very easy to get our affection on things of the earth. I'm sure someone in a poor third world country, they have an easier time setting their affection, looking forward to heaven. Will always have enough food, and they will not have to have a terrible job, and they won't be sick all the time, and people they love dying constantly. It's easier for them. But we in America have life pretty nice, and it's very easy for us to get comfortable down here and set our affection on things of the earth. But it says, do not set your affection on things of the earth. Wealth, popularity, relationships, money, things, all the things in this world. Listen, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So our affection should be going up towards heaven. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, God in the Bible talks a lot about us dying to ourselves. Paul said, I die daily. This says, you're dead. Verse 5 says, mortify, put to death your members which are upon the earth, all the bad desires in your flesh. And we're supposed to put our flesh to death. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dying to myself. He that loses life shall keep it. It's all over the Bible about us dying to ourselves. That means if just because you want to do something doesn't mean you do it. Many times you have to do the opposite of what your flesh wants. You're dying to you. Your will, your plan, your life, you are dead. You are, the Bible says, are seated in heavenly places. God says your home is already heaven. Prepare for your home. Live for your home coming up. It's the eternal home in heaven. It's not a temporary one like this earth that we get so much affection for. And so we're supposed to do that. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And since we're living for heaven and things above that are eternal, we're supposed to clean up our lives. Mortify your members upon the earth. Don't have fornication, sexual immorality of any kind, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, God says. Covetousness in the Bible is idolatry, okay? It's the same thing. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. So it says, hey, that's what it was all about for you. The world, having fun, partying, immorality, drunkenness, and sin, the sin of the world and the pleasures of the world, that was in time past. But now you are in something new. That's what the Bible says. It says you used to live. But now, in verse 8, but now ye also put off these things. Okay? You put them on. This is your old life. It's what you lived. You had them on. And now it's like a clothing term. Put them off. Okay? You are not living for this anymore. Put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man. So you're putting a bunch of stuff off. You're getting rid of some things. And you're changing. There's a time to put things off. Put on the new man. That's saying a whole new you, a new life. Not the old man who is corrupt, the Bible says, but a new man, which is a new you, a new creature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's kind of illustrated simply like this. You ever done this here? You start writing something. Scratch it off. Start writing again. And pretty soon, you know what you do? Start again. You start all over again. I want to say that's the way life's supposed to be. You start again in many things in the Bible. It's you know what? That was not worth it. This thing's too messed up. This thing's too wrong. I need to have a new start. You know, the great thing about Christ is in your life, he lets you do new things. I was working underneath my house in a crawl space, and crawl spaces are, if you don't get saved in eternity, you spend eternity in crawl spaces under houses. And crawl spaces are not fun places. And I was doing I was fixing my septic underneath my house and then the crawl space and fixing that. And I kept hearing drip, 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 drip. And I crawled over there and I found a spot of my pipes that had another septic. This is just my PCV pipes running out to my sprinklers and to my spigots on the outside. And it was a little T where it met there. The corner was cut and it had three little spray things going everywhere. And I thought, oh no, I need to replace this. So me and Timmy went under there, and I can figure out most anything, and but I'm not the master plumber certainly. And so we go under there and we fix it all up, and we tried it out, and I looked, and we just replace a whole bunch of parts, a whole bunch of things, and put them all back together, and there's a bunch of connections. And I think we our glue was no longer good. It had gotten water in it, and it just wasn't setting right. And then we tried it too soon, and boy, it was just leaking, dripping all over. Boy, I fixed that, didn't I? I went from one leak to a whole bunch of them. Now, many times you can go to something like that, and you can try to tighten things up and try to fix things and wrap things with this and put... You know, I said, I'm just going to start over on those things. It's not worth it. It's going to be... You ever tried to fix something and put more effort in trying to fix it than you do in just if you just started over? I mean, your whole page is full of whiteout. And your page weighs like 4 pounds. And you say, I should have just started over. And so there's just time. And you know, I just find in life, there's times when you just got to start over again. You know what? I just got to start. Let's just step back and go again. All right, let me do this. And that's the way we got to do that. And there's several things in the Bible about this. We see certainly in this passage, you put on the new man in verse 10. You have put off the old man, verse 9, with his deeds, and have put on the new man. And this is a time when new is needed. First of all, I want to say this. New is needed for salvation. That's very important. New is needed for salvation. Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Some people would say, well, you know, I just need to turn over a new leaf. I just need to try to reform myself. You don't need to reform. You need a new birth. Because you're spiritually dead. When sin came, we die, the Bible says. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That sin in your life, first time you ever sin, you automatically spiritually die, and you need to be born again. There is no morality. There's no church ritual. There's nothing you can do to be involved in a church. There's nothing you can do that's going to make you that be saved and be born again spiritually. Your spirit is death. It needs a new birth. That's why Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So people say, well, I go to church, stuff like that. It's not one of those born again things. Well, then Jesus says you're not going to heaven. You must. Jesus said, you must be born again. And he said it again, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again, he said in John 3:5. He says, I am telling you, you need a new birth. Your spirit is dead. You need to be born again because you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And Jesus came to pay for our sins. So first of all, you need a new start is new in salvation. Coming to the Savior as a lost sinner who's spiritually dead and saying, Lord, I need you to save me. And you just trusting Christ as your Savior, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead and come to him for eternal life. And you need that. We all need that. And I hope you've done that. If you haven't done that, didn't do that tonight. You need to be saved. Number two, we need a new is needed when the old us must go away. Colossians 3 in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. There it is again. Put these things off, it says. Put these things off. It's time for the old life to go away. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's a couple pages back here. Put off some things in your life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth. It says, you know what? It is just time to get rid of these things. It's time. You've sewn it up enough times. It's too dirty. It needs to be put off you. You cannot just rub it. You know, sometimes you get a little stain. You just take a little tiny cloth and wash it off a little bit. That's not the old life. The old life is to be put off. Take it off and get rid of it. Okay? Your old life, you got to put it away. Do not try to put new life over old life. There is a transformation. There is a removing of the old life. There is where you say, that's my old life. I am now serving Christ. I am a new creature. I am putting that away from behind me. Those friends, those words, those habits, those things are put off. And then you need to put new things on. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Our old man is crucified. We put off the old life. Now we need to put on the new life of joy, the new life of prayer, the new life of witnessing, the new life of going to church, the new life of ministry, the new life of Bible time, the new life of loving and helping people, the new life of living for others and loving the Lord first instead of the old life of loving self first. We need to put off the new, old, and put on the new. And that's when it's time. It's time for the old us and our old lives to be put away. Put it behind you. Don't try to have both. Number three, when new is needed is when we need a new start from the Lord. These are beautiful verses, Isaiah 43. Great, great chapter of the Bible. One of the top 10 chapters, in my opinion, of the Bible is Isaiah 43. God talks about his purpose for creation and how though this country is under judgment, God still loves them and wants to do great things for them and wants to do mighty things. In Isaiah chapter 43, he talks about a new start from the Lord. And verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, isn't that beautiful? God said, I'm going to make a new way for you. I'm going to make a new start for you. I want to make a new way. I'm going to make paths in the desert for you. I'm going to make rivers. I'm going to make rivers in the wilderness. I'm sorry, a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He says, you know, I'm going to do something new for you. I'm going to do something you've never seen before. I'm starting you over. I want to do these mighty things for you. Let's start again, Israel. You know, the most amazing thing is just that God doesn't hold grudges. The God just says, hey, you want to start again? Let's start again. If you confess your sins, we're faithful and just to forgive you your sins. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let's start again. I will do mighty things for you. You can't necessarily in life start again. If we did, we'd do a little better probably, wouldn't we? If we got to start again, we can't always start again. But you know what? You can start again from today. And you can control what your ending is. And you can make a good ending. We need a new start from the Lord. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6 says it this way. It says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not oldness of letter. Just a new start from the Lord. Sometimes you just have a crummy week. You have one of those weeks? Who's had one crummy week in this last month? Raise your hand. All right. Those weeks, it's like you had so many plans. And do you know the great thing is every day is a new day. Start again. Just start again. Every week is new. God says, my mercies are new every morning. Let's just start again. You can have a new direction in life and a new way to go and a new start from the Lord. God says, let's just start this again. He did it with David. He started again, even though David was in big trouble. He did it with Peter. Peter cursed Jesus and denied him three times, and he started again. God's merciful and God's good. We need a new start from the Lord. Do not think you are condemned to be on the same trajectory that you've been on. Start a new trajectory. Start going a new way and start serving the Lord. And we just need a new start. And you say, but it's bad. I've got this baggage. I've got this stuff. It's so messed up. I can't go anywhere. I feel like I'm stuck. No, God will do a new thing. And it says, I can make rivers in the desert. Remember how big God is we talked about this morning? We need a new start sometimes. That's okay. Just start again. Reboot. Go to the start. Number four, sometimes this new is needed. When we need a new inside. A new inside. Oh, let's see. We read about the new man in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. This new man is renewed in knowledge. So you get this new man and it becomes renewed in knowledge after Jesus Christ. We have we're in the New Testament. We'll go to Galatians, and we'll go to the Old Testament. Let me read some verses there. A new inside. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We used to have a guy across the street from us, and he had this junky old truck. And he didn't think much of that truck. And my brother, I was young. My brother was really into cars. And one day, my brother asked him, he says, what do you got in that truck? And he said, we had a totaled Corvette, and we took the 327 out of the Corvette and put it in this thing and built it up. And he says, nobody ever knows just how fast this junker is. We win a lot of races in this thing. You know, your outside might be pretty old, and your outside might be pretty beat up. I want to say, most important thing is what's inside. Keep a good engine inside. And that's okay. You keep that motivation inside. You keep that walk with God. You be renewed inside and refreshed inside and be excited inside and be close to God inside. The outside, that stuff perishes and gets old and all that stuff. But you know what? Inside, you can always be new and refreshed and excited. And we have the inside in Christ. Sometimes we need a new spirit. Psalm 51:10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now listen, sometimes God uses the word renew. So he says we have a new creature, and we're a new creature in Christ. We need a new birth. There's many things new. But every once in a while he talks about renew. The word renew in the Old Testament, I looked it up, was fascinating. It's a word that means literally rebuilt. Rebuilt. There are certain things you cannot renew. They don't make them anymore. Okay? Sometimes you just have to rebuild the thing. There's old parts like that you like and different things. But there's renewing something. It's not new, but it's renewed. Your spirit needs renewed. Your spirit inside, not God's spirit, but your spirit gets bad. It's your attitude. It's your strength. And it sometimes gets angry and bitter and testing. You say, you know, God, renew a right spirit. Sin has made my spirit bad. You ever know what I'm talking about? Somebody with a bad spirit? All of us sometimes need our spirit renewed, rebuilt. And it's a prayer, God, renew a right spirit within me. And sometimes our spirit needs renewed. Sometimes our heart needs renewed, a new heart. Let's look at Ezekiel and chapter 11. You know what's great about God? He is able to give us a new heart. I've met some people and I thought, man, this person, they're just so messed up and so bad and so bitter and so hard and so this and so that. But I never say there's no hope for them. But you know what I know they need? They need a new heart. And God is in the business of heart transplants. In Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19, this wicked nation who had a terrible hard heart, he said, I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I'll give out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. He says, their heart is stony right now. You ever known somebody with a stony heart? It says, you know what? God can take the stony heart and take that rock hard heart that's just so hard and make it a heart of flesh and be soft again. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've seen how God can soften hearts and give a new heart. Isn't God good? He can do that to us. Sometimes we need a new heart. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, a heart transplant. Ezekiel 36. In verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Sometimes we need a new inside. Sometimes you can say, well, that's just me. Well, we need a new you. okay? If your heart is hard, if you have a bad spirit, if you have inside wounds and bitterness and anger, let me tell you, you need a new inside, and God can give you a new spirit. He can give you a new heart. He can give you a new man. He is a God who, there is a time when we need new, and that's when you need new insides. And that comes from God, and he can do that. Next, sometimes we need new mercy. New mercy. It is of the Lord's, Lamentations 3, 22, 23, in that area. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. You know, you can get up every morning and say, you know what? God's got new mercy for me today. I can go forth. I am right with God. I have confessed up. I am serving the Lord. God has new mercy for me today. I can go forth and have a good day. His mercy is new every morning. Yeah, you can glorify your sin and how bad it is and talk about how you can't be forgiven and God's holding a grudge, except for God said if you confess your sins, hey, I don't care if your sin is a scarlet, it'll be as white as snow. His mercies are new every morning. And we I don't know about you, but many times I use up yesterday's mercies. But thank God his mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. It's so good we have that. We need new mercy. Then I want to say we need sometimes a new mind. A new mind. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to tell you this. Most of us need a new mind. I'm not talking because you can't remember. What was I going to say? Some of you, it's not just a memory. It's not what we need. All of us need our minds just cleansed and a new way of thinking. You know, it's amazing. I grew up with, you know, most of my life has been a Christian now. I mean, the first 16 years was without Christ, but now it's been the other, whatever it is, I'm not good at math, and I don't want you to know how old I am. And so the rest of these years in Christ, reading the Bible, going to church, doing all the right things and all those things, and I've done these. You know what? I still find myself sometimes thinking the worldly thinking. It's pretty deeply ingrained. Our minds need to be fixed. Our minds need renewed. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's look at Romans in chapter 12. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 8. I want to say, just as we get there to Romans 8, one of the things I was going to preach on and talk about, and it just, the message didn't go that direction, and it's another way we went. So I want to talk about the difference in the way the world sees the mind and the way God sees the mind. And secular psychology versus Christian psychology. Because there's a massive difference. Secular psychology basically says man is good and what's in them is good and they just need to tap into what's good in them. Christian psychology says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And we need God, and we need God to make change us, because there is none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all gone astray and gone our own path. One says it's all about you. One said it's not about you. You need to lose your life. It is a massive difference in the mindset. And Romans chapter 8 says, you in your mind, if your mind is a fleshly mind, a mind like the world has, a carnal mind, a mind that thinks of normal thoughts of the world, you cannot be in God's will and submissive to God. It's impossible. You've got to have a new mind, a mind that's completely renewed. Romans chapter 8 in verse 5, and he says, for they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. One way leads to emptiness and death and an end. It's not what you want. And one leads to life and peace. Verse 7 is very important because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your mind in the flesh cannot get subjected to God. It cannot follow God. It is totally contrary. So many times, a Christian is worldly minded, and just in a conversation, they'll say, well, I want to do this. And that just doesn't sound right to me, and I just don't want to do this. And you'll show them Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse, and then it's, no, I don't think so. I just think this, God doesn't want me to live like that. God just wants me to be happy. And the hardness of trying to convince somebody what real biblical Christianity is, and it's a better life and it's a victory life. However, it is a sacrificial life. It is not a life where you say, I want to do this and I like to do this and I feel comfortable with this. It is take up your cross and follow me. But the carnal mind cannot be subject to God. It cannot be. So our minds need to be renewed. In other words, your mind needs to be rebuilt. Rethinking, changing the way you're thinking. Listen, you've got to spend a whole bunch of time in the Bible. If you grew up in a worldly situation and worldly people and worldly thinking and all that stuff, like I did, you know what? You need a brainwashing. Literally. And that washing is a washing of the water of the Word. And you've got to get immersed in the Bible and get a lot of Bible, because you've got to get out of carnal thinking, because sometimes we just need a new way of thinking. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. So people say, well, that's all you talk about is the Bible. It's very narrow. You're narrow-minded. Yeah, I'm about that narrow, about 2 inches narrow. And very narrow. And we're narrow-minded. Why? Because we believe the Bible, and because we believe God's right, and we believe this world's falling apart and is wicked and does not have God's way. And we've got to be renewed in our minds and begin to think like God thinks and see life in God's priority and set our affection on things above and love our enemies and do things that do not seem natural. That's Bible thinking. That's why you have to be in your Bible every day. That's why you've got to hear good preaching. That's why you've got to be immersed and change the way you think and be around people who think godly thoughts, because this carnal mind needs to be renewed. You can't have the old mind and a new life. It's impossible. You've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the new is needed, the new is needed sometimes. It's a new year. Many of you have perfect attendance. You've been here every Sunday, both Sundays of the year. You're doing great and stuff. But let's just say, you know what? I need some new things in my life. The good thing is you have a God in heaven who can start you all over right now. I mean, right now, you can confess your sins and go from here on and have nothing but a close relationship with God and victory. The Lord's mercies are new. He will forgive. He will make a new way for you. He says, I will renew you. I will make you new. You know what? That is a constant process until we get to heaven when all things are new. Until then, get some new things and keep being renewed, and let the Lord, who can give you a new spirit and a new inside and a new attitude and a new heart and all the new things he can give you, and a new mind where you think right and see right and have the peace and life of God in you. That's what we need. New. Or you can stay with the same old thing and keep duct taping that car of your life and hope it keeps on going. There's a certain point where you say, this car is not worth investing anything else in. It gets pretty far down the road for me, by the way. I said, finally, when I gave up my car, it had holes in the floor. It was a rusty Eastern car. Finally, when I was driving down the road, I heard a clunk, and I looked back, and here was a car park bouncing down the road from my car, and it hit a Beamer behind me. And I said, all right, let's park this thing. I don't need to be Flintstones here, and I need to park this thing. And, you know, your old life, you really want to keep that thing on you and just try to, you got that stinky old life, those stinky old clothes. You say, well, I'll just put some new clothes over him. Are you thinking clearly? How about you start again? How about you say, you know what? I need a new mind, a new life. I need a new start from God. I need some paths in the wilderness, and I need some rivers in the desert, Lord. I need you to start me again. I'm just going to, you know what? I'm done. I am starting again right now. Great. God can do that. You just got to take the steps and start renewing your mind and asking God to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. It teaches us these things, Lord, and help us to be thinking we're going to heaven someday, like Colossians 3, and putting away the old life and putting on the new life and putting on the new man and living, getting ready for heaven. Thank you, Lord, that we're not stuck in the old life. Thank you, we're not stuck with our regrets and our failures and our things that were handed to us from our families. We can have a new, victorious, wonderful life. But Lord, it starts in our minds, starts in our spirits. It starts being close to you. Help us to put off some old things, put on some new things, and see the great new life you have for us. For we thank you, for you can do these things, Lord, because we sure don't know how to do them. But thank you for your word that tells us, Lord, help us enjoy the newness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Pianists will come tonight, whatever you need to renew. You need to be saved tonight. You need to be born again. That'd be you. If the old you needs to go away, then you need to come. Do you need a new start from the Lord? Come down and tell God that. You need a new inside, new heart, new spirit, new creature, new man. You need new mercy from God. Do you need a new mind? Listen, we need to start over with some things. Some things you need to put away. Let's get the new where we need it. I'm going to pray for you, heads bowed, eyes closed, and I want you to come if God spoke to your heart. Father, I pray for those who you spoke to tonight. Lord, I pray they'd make a wise decision in Christ. I pray that they'd put on the new, put away the old, and I pray that they would be renewed, Lord. We'd be refreshed. We would be changed. And some old, broken down lives of things that need to be put behind, we'd be put behind tonight. And some new things to be inserted, and when the engine would roar, because it's a new engine. Thank you for your ability to do these things and start us again. And thank you for most of all for heaven, where there's a new heaven and a new earth. And Lord, help us to prepare for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, piano's playing. Come now. God spoke to you. Get renewed. God spoke to you. Start over today. Maybe you say, I have some relationship problems. Maybe you should just come today and say, I'm starting over. I'm ending the old relationship, and I'm going to look for the new. I failed the Lord for many years. Start new tonight. I had a terrible week. I did all kinds of things wrong. Maybe you've tried to tape up your pipes too much. You just need to start over and put new connectors and pipes in there. Just start again. In Christ, you can be renewed. Turning over a new leaf yourself doesn't make you new. It won't do it.